Good morning to you all this morning. This is another beautiful Lord's Day He has given to us. I want to welcome all our visitors here. Glad you're here, and we hope you are inspired and edified by the services this morning, the preaching and partaking of the Lord's table, and the singing that we do here and in our prayers. This morning I want to speak of a subject that is on everybody's mind, maybe not all at the same time. As we get older, it's normal for a human being, as we get on in the years, to think a little bit more about death than the youngsters and the young children. Certainly the young children have no thought of dying. They got their whole life ahead of them, they think. But we know over time that many people have lost their lives due to natural causes or by tragic events. The young and the old. This country, many of the people in this country that abort innocent children on through the tragedies that befall many youngsters by this cruel and evil world. This morning I want to talk for a brief time about the subject of death of a saint. Certainly the Bible tells us the death of a sinner, one that has not been obedient to the Word of God, that has not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, a sinner that is lost in the world, that is not a member of the church. We know the Bible speaks to us on many occasions the outcome that will be, the good outcome and the bad outcome come Judgment Day. We know that there's nothing good about the death of an alien sinner. Certainly God the Father, when He created us, did not plan for that to be. He gave each and every one of us a mind of our own to think for ourselves, make decisions and choices by ourselves, hopefully guided by the New Testament Scriptures, that we would make the right decisions in this life and stay on those righteous paths that lead to everlasting life. But we as humans can make that choice to follow Jesus Christ, or follow the devil, follow Satan. The text comes from Psalms 116 and 15, where the psalmist says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." We as humans look at death from a human perspective. Certainly the Bible tells us God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways we don't know. We can determine some of them, but many of them we just don't know, and we won't know until Judgment Day comes. We as humans, it's only normal and natural to feel sad at the death of a loved one, the death of our spouse or our children or our friends or a fellow Christian. Just the fact that that person is no longer living and breathing and living with us here upon this earth, it is a sad, sad event. In contrast, the death of a sinner, knowing that they are not a member of the body of Christ, that have not obeyed the gospel, when we experience a family member or a friend that is not a Christian, unfortunately, it can bring very, very deep, sad feelings. This morning I wish to speak briefly on a few things that would help enlighten you and comfort you concerning the death of a fellow saint. There are many here that have grieved over the loss of their loved one that has been a member of the church. We've spoke on this subject many times. Certainly we as humans need to be reminded. We needed to be uplifted and comforted at times. And of course, the only thing in this world that can do that is the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Before we do, let us go to God in a word of prayer. Let me begin by simply stating that the wonderful things that come about after the death of a saint are due to the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is His death, His suffering and death, His sacrifice, and His resurrection from the dead that allows us the benefits that we will receive if we've been faithful unto our deaths. Death is something that everyone who has or will live must face. We all know that. Many times we don't ponder on it, we don't dwell on it, certainly the youngsters don't, but again, as we get older in our years, death is something, it's a subject that we think about more and more. Hebrews 9 and 27 says, as is it appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. We know the judgment day is coming. We know that we will face our Lord and be either rewarded or we will be punished for the things that we've done here upon this earth and for the things that we haven't done. Ecclesiastes 3 and 2, we know that there's a time to be born and a time to die. Certainly, as we live our lives here upon this earth, let us always remember we're not here forever. We know that. We never know the time that it will be, our life will be snuffed out, so to speak, whether by natural causes or by other events. God didn't promise us to all live into the way into the older years, but we don't. Since we don't know when that time will come, we always have to be ready. It is natural, though, for us to express our deep emotions and weep and cry and mourn over loved ones who have so-called fallen asleep. Jesus wept for Lazarus in the shortest verse in John 11 and 35. Starting in verse 32, John 11. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And in verse 35, Jesus wept. Jesus, as we know, as he lived here on this earth as a man, he experienced all the physical things that we do. He certainly, in these verses here, expressed sorrow. His heart and mind and spirit was troubled at the loss of Lazarus, and of course we know that he raised him from the dead. Yes, it is natural for us to express our mourn and sorrow for our lost loved ones. Again, as I stated earlier, it's even a little bit more severe when we know, or at least have a belief that our loved ones are not a member of the church, have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, and are not a members of the Lord's church. I know that is not to say that it's an easier way or an easier time, but certainly those that have loved ones that were Christians that have now fallen asleep, they can at least comfort in knowing that they are in a place of comfort in Abraham's bosom, in a place in Hades called paradise, where Jesus went and brought the one thief on the cross with him that day he died. However, the day a Christian dies, let us know that it is the best day of his or her life. You wouldn't think that. You wouldn't want to believe that. The world certainly doesn't believe that. But Christians, we have a great insight to the hereafter found in the New Testament Scriptures, because Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 1, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Certainly it is a joyous time when we bring children into this world, when we see a newborn babe. It is certainly a great day in the parent's life, but here the Scriptures tell us the day of death is better than the day of one's birth, because the day of death, if we have lived obedient unto Jesus Christ and in the Scriptures, we will be given a heavenly home. We will live in eternity come judgment day if we are obedient, knowing that the day of death we go to a place called paradise if we're obedient, and awaiting the judgment. God set it up this way, that after the day of death, and that the day of one's better than the day of one's birth. He had set it up originally that we were all living eternal, or man was already living eternally in an immortal body, but sin changed all that. Sin caused Adam and Eve to be ousted from the Garden of Eden, and then from that day forward, death would be a part of their lives. Suffering and hard work, blood, sweat, and tears, so to speak, would be part of man's life from that point on. Certainly, God is with this, is bringing it back to the original position that we were created in His image. We were created in His image in a mortal body. Certainly, that will be the result if after death and judgment. Only we can change what the outcome of judgment will be. If we have chosen to live disobedient lives, then that day of death will not be a day of birth. It will be a day of destruction. Romans 8 and 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There's a saying on the day of death that the day of death that we fear is our last, but the birthday of eternity. It will be an eternal time after judgment day, eternal bliss, eternal grandeur in heaven, or eternal separation from God. If you want to speak it to a being a birthday for those that are out of Christ, yes, it'll be a birthday of eternal damnation and eternal punishment in Hades. We should not weep because we would prefer that these persons be back on earth with us, even though we thought about that. Let us realize that their death is better than the day they were born. When a Christian dies, it is the final step that launches them into eternal bliss if they have been faithful. Revelations 14, verse 13 says, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 56 and 57, "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Death is not extinguishing the light. It is putting out the lamp because dawn has come. The dawn of a new age, and that new age, of course, is eternity in heaven with our Father, our God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Benjamin Franklin said, "A man is not completely born until he is dead." In 1 Thessalonians 4 this morning, I wish to dwell on that chapter here a little bit. God wants us to know for sure, absolutely, four principles concerning the death of a saint. The dead have hope in Christ, 1 Thessalonians 4 in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Those that are out of Christ, those that have not been obedient to the gospel, those that have not obeyed the gospel and are not a follower of Jesus Christ, they certainly have no hope after their death here upon this earth. The only hope that we have is in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tomorrow, we have a day that is nationally set aside as a memorial day to remember those, especially those in the military, so to speak, that have lost their lives for so many different causes that that our government deems is proper, right, and righteous. Certainly, it's not good to see anybody die, any human being die, but many use tomorrow as a memorial day to remember all those heroes that have died for the cause of this great country, wherever it may have had skirmishes or battles. Knowing that as Christians we are not to lift sword up against one another, certainly many times on Memorial Day others look to their loved ones, even though they remember them throughout the year. Certainly days that the government has set aside with the names of the days that they have, memorial, it's natural to kind of think back on your loved ones that have passed on, and then what you did the last time this time of year that you had with them. But certainly, as Christians, we don't set aside one day in particular to remember the death of our Savior or His resurrection, like many in the denominational world do. We are commanded in the New Testament Scriptures that our memorial day for Jesus Christ is every first day of the week. When we gather around the table and take part of the bread and the one cup, we remember the Lord's death till He come again. Certainly He's on our minds throughout the week, but as far as an act of worship and something that we do together as Christians in one group, we gather around the Lord's table, His memorial here, that we remember Him. The Lord's Day, the first day of the week, is a Christian's memorial day. That is who we remember. That is who we have hope in. Certainly, if it wasn't for His death and resurrection, we would not be gaining the wonderful things that are waiting for us upon our death if we are faithful unto that time. First of all, what is hope? Hope is assured anticipation. We hope for certain things in this life. We anticipate them coming with much anxiety at times. We are to hope of that. We should have that hope of the eternal salvation one day, and always keep those heavenly rewards in mind as we live on this earth. Romans 5:5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The love of God is where it all stems around. If the love of God allowed Jesus to come here to reconcile us back to Him through the death of His Son, so that we would once again live as He would have us, that we would live as He originally created us. Certainly that that hope is very great in the hearts and minds of Christians, and that hope that we would see our lost loved ones one day as well. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Jesus Christ certainly is our great hope. He anchors us in this world of uncertainty. Certainly our hope is centered around Jesus Christ. It can't be centered around anything physical or earthly or material, because those things are for a short time. We know that Christ lives on in glory at the right hand of our Father. It is Him that we have hope in. Where is hope located? 1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is in heaven at its time, seated at the God's right hand, is our intercessor. He died a physical death, but He rose from the dead, knowing that He's there waiting for us. We have this this hope in Him, makes us very happy and joyful to know that our trust and our hope is in Jesus Christ. He loves us. He's interceding for us, and certainly it's enough to know that as we live here upon this earth, into our years, knowing that our loved ones that have passed on, that were Christians, that great promise that was promised them, they are experiencing and they are being comforted in that. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. 1 Timothy 1:1. There's no one else here upon this earth, no one else, period, that we should rest our hope in. Certainly we men place their hope and dreams and trust in things of this world, which the Bible tells us rots away, rusts away. It's for a short period of time and blows away in the wind. Jesus Christ is our rock. He's the founder of our faith. He intercedes for us. He is our Savior. He is who we should have our hope in. Colossians 1:27, whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So what do Christians hope for? What should they hope for? Hope of being made righteous for eternity. We wish to obtain that heavenly body again, or I should say the first time, knowing that we will at Judgment Day, we will be given a new body fit for eternity. Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We hope of the resurrection from the dead. Certainly, this is something that we all can or are able to do, and that is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:19-21. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. In the Garden of Eden, Adam brought death upon all. And in God's will and in God's plan, He needed to send His Son Jesus Christ to come to this world to experience the greatest suffering any man has ever endured, He died on the cross, and he rose from the dead. And it's because of that that we have the ability, when we die, to rise from the dead as well when we are called. We should have a hope of heaven in our minds. Again, a lot of people have the hope of this world and the hope of physical things. We should have the hope of heaven in our minds. Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." This is one of the promises that Christians have been given. Certainly our thoughts, our songs, our prayers should be that of going to heaven one day. The way we live our life should be wanting to go to heaven. That should be on our minds. That should be our goal. Beside all the earthly goals we have here upon this earth, it's all meaningless. But we should have the hope of gaining entrance into heaven to be with our Creator. Titus 3 and 7, "That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." That's what we all hope for, eternal life in heaven with our Savior Jesus Christ, with God our Father, God the Holy Spirit, and all our other loved ones and faithful Christians over time. Certainly we do not wish to enter into eternal damnation, but it's by the grace of God that we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life that Titus speaks about here in this verse. And of course, eternal life is our choosing. We have to do what Jesus has commanded us to do, and we need to live our lives as Christians after obeying the gospel. John 14:1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He's true. He's our Creator. Many deny Him. He's in heaven. That's where He's at. We know God is everywhere, but that is where His great throne is. That's where our heavenly home is, awaiting us. And no matter what happens here upon this earth, the trials or the tribulations or the tragedies that would trouble our hearts, let us remember that we know God is who He is. We believe in Him and His Son, and that we wait for that great reward in heaven. We should have a hope of escaping eternal destruction. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." There are many that pervert the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth. They twist the words, delete some of them, add some to them. We know we're not to add to the book. Certainly, it behooves us to realize that eternal destruction, eternal damnation awaits those that are disobedient to Jesus Christ. If we wish to avoid that and escape that, we need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and continue following Him. And it says here very plainly that we will not escape this eternal destruction if we don't obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus brought it, doing the will of the Father. It's Him who gave us the gospel, His gospel. It is Him who has plainly stated the steps of salvation that man should take to escape this eternal destruction. And who's man to change those words and look to lead others astray? They are leading them down that path of eternal destruction, and certainly behooves us, since we know the truth, that we would set people straight whenever we have that opportunity. It's all about obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The work of the church is to preach Christ crucified, to edify the assembly, and to bring others unto Jesus Christ, bring others to Him by the lessons here, by the way we live our lives, how others see us and how we live our lives. Certainly we all need to remain on the right path and bring others to have a change of mind that they would obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and avoid this eternal destruction. Matthew 25 and 46, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. It's our choice, everlasting punishment or life eternal. Those that are obedient will go on to life eternal. Those that are disobedient, we know, into everlasting punishment. Where is this hope found? Can we find it through creeds of the church? Can we find it by denominational bodies or catechisms or other writings declaring they are the holy scriptures? Certainly not. By man's opinion, by man's interpretation of what the Bible says? Certainly not. It's by hearing and reading the Word of God and obeying that. That is where that great hope is found. That is where we find out who we are, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. And certainly the way of Jesus Christ is the way to do it. Colossians 1 and 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Satan wants to change that. He knows that if man studies and obeys the gospel, they will have that great hope promised them. But certainly he's trying to take away as many as he can from the gospel. And if he can get people to preach something other than the true gospel, he's won that battle. Next, let's remember that death is only a sleep. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So after death, people continue to exist, not in their physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. Certainly we know in Luke 16, we read the story of the rich man and the beggar named Lazarus. And when they both died, and we know that the rich man opened his eyes in torment, and Lazarus opened his eyes, and he was in Abraham's bosom being comforted. It's a great story to tell us the destiny of each and every one of us upon death. Certainly Lazarus felt the comfort, and the rich man felt the torment. They're real. The rich man, certainly he pleaded with Abraham to have mercy on him, pleaded for water to cool his tongue. Certainly his spirit lived on, and his spirit was experiencing extreme pain. It's something for us to think about. The inward man lives on after death. Psalms 22 and 26, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 and 8 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So upon death, there is feeling there. The inward man lives on to experience love and comfort or punishment and destruction. After death, the soul of a Christian goes to be with Christ in paradise. We are comforted there until judgment day in Philippians 1, 21 through 23. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Certainly there we know that between the two places, paradise in the place of torment, Tartarus, there is a great gulf affixed between the two. Let us always keep in mind that is the destiny of us when we die. It's a temporary holding place, so to speak, until judgment day comes, until we receive our permanent home. We know that the soul of a Christian goes to paradise if they've been obedient, awaiting judgment day, and that there's nothing for us here to be worried about if that time should come. When we know our loved one had been a member of the church, a Christian, that should comfort us as well, that they are no longer feeling any pain in their old years before their death, that they are being comforted and in a far better place than we are, and it's a place that we should really desire too, to be with Christ and to be comforted, and that would be no more tears or pain or suffering. Jesus at the cross, we know, had said to one of the thieves next to him in Luke 23 and 43, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That person is still there awaiting judgment day. We know that Jesus left there and went on into heaven, but it's it's a great place for those that have obeyed the gospel and have been faithful unto death. And that's where they will go. Knowing that our loved ones have gone there, waiting to go into eternally into heaven, is a great hope. Jesus will say to you, a baptized believer, upon your physical death, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Certainly, again, it's promised. We know our destiny. Our main concern is to make sure we get on the right path to go there. Death is a heavenly reunion in verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 15 through 17. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remaining unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." We've been to family reunions, school reunions. There was much joy in them. It was great to see people that we had not seen in many, many years. But there is no comparison to the great joy awaiting those for the heavenly reunion. Certainly, we will see our loved ones if they've been faithful again, and if we wish to see them in that great place and enjoy their company, we should strive to stay on the straight and narrow path that we may gain entrance into that great place. We've all been to reunions, family reunions, where we love to be reacquainted with our loved ones that we have not seen in many years. But the great family reunion that is awaiting the faithful Christian is beyond compare. Certainly, we will see our Creator God, as the song we sang this morning, saying goodbye to prayer. We will not need to pray to God anymore, God the Father, because He will be in our presence. We will be with Him and His Son and the Holy Ghost, and all those faithful Christians, all the apostles, all those that have started faithful congregations of the Lord's church, men and women alike, young and old, men and women, all Christians ever that have ever lived. Certainly, to know that we would be with such a great group of people, that their mainstay here upon this earth was to please God and to further the cause of Christ, and all those that we would be brought back together with, even though we'd never known them here on this physical earth, to know that each and every one that we are in the presence of had a great, great love for God, a great desire to please Him, and all present there looking to worship God and sing songs of praise to Him on into eternity. Yes, it's going to be a reunion with our spiritual family. Mark 3 and 35, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same as my brother and my sister and my mother." We will be reunited with loved ones who have died in Christ, our spouses, our children, our friends. We will meet our brother, Jesus Christ, face to face. We will be in the presence of our Creator who made us for eternity. That's how we started off. He had made man for eternity. Man slipped up, man sinned. Man would die from that point on. And it is only because of the death and resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we are able to be offered and have the wonderful opportunity to be made for eternity again. The deceased is eternally secured in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and 18, Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's many things that can comfort us when we are grieving here, when we've lost loved ones. Yes, the tender, loving words of our spouses and our loved ones can comfort us when we've lost another one. But certainly the Holy Scriptures, the New Testament Scriptures, the Gospel of Jesus Christ comforts us when we're down and out. If we continue to love God all our life, then truly nothing will be able to separate us from God's love in eternity. When we love God, we will live our lives for Him, and we will obey Him. We will love our God with we'll love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and we'll love our neighbor as ourselves. The two great commandments. As we live this life here upon this earth, let us remember that there is a heavenly hope of eternity waiting us, and let us be comforted knowing that our loved ones that have been members of the body of Christ that have obeyed the gospel are being comforted at this time, and we will one day be with them. Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? We haven't been promised a life free of violence, but we have been promised of a life of eternal bliss if we are faithful unto death. Certainly these things that are present in the world today, perpetrated by individuals that have an evil and dark and hardened heart, that they go about doing these things unto people. Certainly let it not discourage us, knowing that as we still truck along on the path, the right path to go to heaven, all these great things that we spoke about will certainly come about. What a glorious and comforting thought to know that we will live with our spiritual family in heaven forever. Romans 8:36-39. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We should continue to have a great love for our Father in Jesus Christ. We should do everything we can to stay in His good sight, in His good favor. When we as Christians have fallen short, we are to repent of those sins and pray to Him and ask for forgiveness. Remain in the love of God. That's where all the great treasures that await us exist, in the love of God and Jesus Christ. Let us remember that is where we all desire to go. That is where our loved ones are now, we're faithful Christians unto death. Let that fact comfort us to know that they are being well taken care of. And if we wish to see our loved ones and see our Creator and see our Savior Jesus Christ one day in a favorable light, to be with them in their presence and to enjoy their love and grace, that we would remain obedient here in our life upon this earth. In closing, Amos 4:12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. They were instructed to do those things that would prepare them to meet their God. Certainly we should live our lives in preparing to meet our God each and every day, knowing that we cannot stop working to prepare to meet our Holy Father, not knowing when time will be no more or our personal time will be snuffed out. We need to live each and every day preparing to meet our Holy Maker. That is my lesson this morning. Hopefully you received just a little bit to spur your thoughts on the subject of the death. Certainly the death of a sinner is tragic. There's nothing that can be done at that point, but it is our choice whether we die as a sinner or we die as a Christian or die as a saint, a believer in Jesus Christ. If anyone desires the services of the church, let them come while we stand and as we sing.